Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 and full year FY22 earnings conference call of Pitti Engineering. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us today on this call are Mr. Akshay S. Pitti, VCMD, the senior management team of the company presidents, Mr. Varun Agarwal, Mr. Sandeep Agarwala, and Mr. Rishab Gupta. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome everyone to our Q4 FY22 and full year FY22 earnings call. We hope you have had a chance to review our results. A copy of the presentation is also available on our website. I will touch upon the operation and financial performance of the company and then open the floor for a Q&A session. I'm delighted to inform you that the company has posted its best ever annual results. The total income for FY22 stood at 970.26 crore, which is 80.12% higher than previous year. Net profit grew 80.3% to 51.89 crore. Sales in quantitative terms grew by 48.15% to 31,945 metric tons for FY22. The total revenue for the fourth quarter stood at rupees 286.46 crores, which is 51.16% higher on a year-on-year basis. Sales were 8,647 metric tons for Q4, registering a volume growth of 27.05%. Capacity utilization during the quarter was 74.79%. EBITDA was 35.37 crores, up by 32.37% on a YOY basis. PAT stood at 20.01 crores, down by 5.66%. Company generated a cash of 30.27 crores during the quarter. Blended sale realization for the quarter was 313,860 rupees per metric ton. Blended EBITDA was 40,898 rupees per metric ton. Metro, freight and passenger rail segments continue to grow significantly. We are seeing strong demand continuing from the wind energy segment. Encouraging progress is visible in electric vehicle and automotive segments as well. We have healthy business visibility and an order book of 1,078 crores as of 31st March 2022. On the capex front, we have spent rupees 137 crores out of the 270 crores planned capex, and the residual is on track for completion by FY23. Company has also recently decided to invest an additional 197 crores for FY24 and FY25. This incremental investment is towards replacement of old equipment and modernizing of the Hyderabad facilities, further automate the Aurangabad facilities, and enhancing of machining capabilities and capacities. As of 31st March 22, the debt equity ratio was 1.15. Total debt stood at 325 crores. ROCE was 18.20% for FY22. As we continue to improve our working capital cycle, the total working capital days stood at 96 as of 31st March 2022. I would now like to open the floor for a Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1 at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anshul Mittal from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Sir, you're audible, but if you can speak a bit louder, it would be better. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, as we can see, the debt has increased from 320 crores to 393 crores as of FY22. So, what is the peak debt which we are expecting, and when can we see a reduction going forward?
Debt is at 325 crores for FY22, like I said in my opening remarks.
Okay. And so, sir, what is the peak debt which we are expecting going forward?
Peak debt at the peak of the implementation of CAPEX cycle will not exceed 360 crores.
Okay. And where from, what is the, are we planning to go net debt free as mentioned in the last Q3 con call in next couple of years?
Yes, that is the target.
Okay. And sir, what is the consistent amount of other income which we'll start receiving from next year onwards?
So, for the next year, the other income would be 27 crores. And then after that, it will peak out at 32 crores, as previously mentioned.
Okay. And by when, till when will we receive this?
This will continue all the way through FY32.
Okay. Okay. Understood. Thanks. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. First question. So, since you now you have a capacity of around 46,000 tons, so in FY23, what kind of volumes you are targeting, and also what kind of EBITDA per ton you are aiming for on those volumes?
So right now from 46,000, we firstly expect the capacity to increase to 56,000 by the end of the year. And therefore for the year, we are targeting a sales of 42,000 tons. EBITDA per ton can be expected to be about 42,000.
Okay. Okay. And so this additional 197 crores of CAPEX, I understand this is for renovation and automation, but any financial benefit this can have on your financials, like improvement in EBITDA or improvement in asset turnover, or any kind of benefit will it have?
Absolutely. See, the Hyderabad facility is aged. It was set up in 2004 and 2005. And with this automation, we should be able to see EBITDA's increase to 48,000 once that CAPEX is done.
So 48,000 rupees only from the Hyderabad facility?
No, no, consolidated, because we are also increasing the machining capacity from 600,000 to 648,000 hours, which is primarily going towards highly value-added products.
No, sir, I'm slightly confused. So the renovation is happening in the Hyderabad facility, which as of now is a smaller facility, right? EBITDA per ton of 48 on a consolidated basis, how you will achieve? I mean,
So part of this CAPEX, yeah, what we are planning to do is to firstly make Aurangabad a center for all our sheet metal operations and Hyderabad a center for all of our machining capabilities and capacities. So we'll reorganize the two facilities as per that. Apart from that, the capacity is increasing in machining as well. So on a consolidated basis, you will see the EBITDA grow because we'll have in a rationalization of cost, two facilities doing sheet metal, two facilities doing machining, that will get sorted out. Apart from that, the machining capacity is going up, like I said, towards highly value-added products.
Okay, so actually the question was arising from the previous statements of the conference calls that in previous calls also you have mentioned that your target is to take the EBITDA per ton to 48,000 rupees. Okay, and at that point of time there was no discussion on this additional CAPEX. So, and now with this additional CAPEX also we are sticking to that 48,000 rupees EBITDA per ton. So, what incrementally had, you know, what has changed that with this additional CAPEX, which was not talked about that time while giving a guidance of 48,000 rupees per ton EBITDA?
beyond that, I don't think you'll get any additional benefit. Like you said, this is towards replacement of equipment as well, right? Majority of it is going to go for replacement of aged equipment. So beyond that, you'll not get any additional benefit.
Okay. Okay. Then last, my last question is, so since you mentioned that you aim to become debt free, so with this additional capex now coming in, by which year you feel you'll be like a net debt free company?
About 5 to 6 years from now.
5 to 6 years from now. But your peak debt would be 360 crores.
Yes.
Including this 197 crores of additional capex coming in next 2-3 years.
Yes.
Okay. And sorry to have one more question. So we have seen a massive increase in the raw material prices in the recent months, especially post the war between Russia and Ukraine. So are you seeing any delays in, receiving orders from your customers or taking delivery? Are they waiting for the commodity prices to come down, or any kind of slowdown you are witnessing in the last 2-3 months?
No,
both in terms of inflows and execution?
No, not at all. In fact, for the current quarter, Q1 of FY23, we have the strongest and healthiest order book that we've ever had in the history of the company.
Okay. That's great, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, my first question is, in FY22, the sales around 31,945 tons. How much tons from Aurangabad plant, the sales?
Aurangabad plant was approximately 20,000 tons.
20,000 tons, right, sir?
20,000 tons from Aurangabad factory.
Yeah, okay, got it, sir. And my second question, like the company focused on increase on domestic revenue up to 80%, whether the customers are shifted their manufacturing base to India or like the company like would like to reduce the exposure on like losing some clients in exports?
No, we are not losing any clients in exports. We see the domestic market growing disproportionately vis-a-vis the export market. Exports also have grown. If you see, we have exported 296 crores of sales, which is again much higher than the previous year. But the domestic customers are growing at a faster rate than our exports, which is why we see that going forward, exports will become close to about 80%. They have already become about, domestic will become close to 80% of the total revenue mix.
Okay, sir. Sir, like in terms of raw material cost, like the sales in terms of raw material cost, in terms of sales, stood at around 73.6% versus 65.5% in last quarter in same year. Like, have you experienced lagging to pass the raw material change to the customers? Whether the quarterly price variation class is effective?
Yes, we have a PVC which is on a quarterly basis, and the raw material price increase also happens on a quarterly basis. All of it is getting passed through to the customer.
Because nowadays steel prices are highly volatile, raw material prices are having 10-15% upside on downside on how we are tackling this.
I'm sorry, your line is not clear. We cannot hear your question clearly.
Sir, nowadays raw material prices having volatility of 10-15% on monthly basis, how we are tackling with this?
Our raw material is fixed for a quarter, as is our selling price.
Okay, sir. And sir, the government levied 15% export duty for iron and steel products. This is expected to reduce steel prices 10-15% in coming months. What kind of benefits a company will get?
Again, we will not get any benefit. As the increased prices are passed on to the customer, decreases in prices also will be passed on to the customer.
Okay, sir, got it. Also, my other question is that revenue potential of 95 crore for various machine components of off-highway applications and locomotive application. Could you please give like how it is exactly doing?
So these are basically machine components that we have developed for locomotive and off-highway applications such as gear cases, stator frames, among others. Cumulatively, these have a revenue potential of 95 crores per year, and we expect it to start contributing from H2 of current fiscal and more meaningful from Q4.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, out of 46,000 tons, what kind of capacity for EV right now?
There's no separate capacity for EV. It's the same product as far as we are concerned, whether it goes in an electric scooter, it goes in an electric bus or in a traction motor. The process is the same. So you can in one way say that the entire capacity is for EV and also in one way.
Okay, sir, got it. Sir, out of 1078 crores of order book, how much for locomotives, railway?
Locomotive and railway should be about 30% of that order book.
30%, right, sir?
30%.
30%. Okay, sir, got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivang Joshi from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, I think I missed a number in your response to one of the earlier participants. What is the volume that you are targeting in FY23?
42,000 tons.
Okay, versus what you did in FY22 was roughly around 38,000 or 39,000, right?
FY22 was 31,945 tons.
Okay. So you're targeting 42,000 in next year. That's fair. But first, I just want to understand higher order book that you have, 1078 crores, if you compare it with what it was earlier, a year back, what would be volume growth, what would be the price led or the higher realization led growth in order book, if you can just dissect and give a number?
See, in volume terms, we would say that the order book has grown 50% and the rest would be on account of price change.
Okay, so still we see 50% volume growth.
Vis-a-vis 1st April of 2021.
Okay, yeah, year on year. I think that that time it was 600 crores. Now it is 1068, so 50% year is volume growth. Okay. Further, next I want to understand if you can get some idea about which specific sector is seeing more traction. We've already mentioned railways, traction motors are continuing to see higher ordering. So if you want to chart a trajectory for the next 1-2 years, do you still believe that railway segment could continue doing the ongoing current level of capex for the next 2 years as well, 3 years as well?
Yes, as of now, the indications that we have from all our clients, whether it's as from Wabtec, Indian Railways themselves, and other companies such as Bombardier, we see that segment is going to continue to grow. See, this is not only for mainline railways, this is including transit, which is your metros. This is including regional rapid transit system, RRTS systems. So we will continue to see growth in this.
Okay. And also you mentioned as a comment that you want to make Aurangabad as a center for your sheet metal capacity and largely Hyderabad facility as mainly your machining facility. So you mean you will be shipping your so-called WIP inventory from Aurangabad to Hyderabad and eventual sale will be out of Hyderabad? Is my understanding right? That?
See, not all of the parts require machining. So only certain lamination parts require machining, which will come here. See, as it is, there's a lot of intra-movement of parts between our two facilities. They are not independent facilities, they are interdependent facilities. And having, you know, these operations of one type in two different locations inherently is more difficult to manage than to concentrate one skill set in one location. So going forward, when we will expand to 72,000 metric tons in sheet metal capacity, the way we see it, it would make more sense to consolidate all of those capabilities in one location so that we can use the capacity in a balanced manner without interdependencies.
Okay. So current large part of incremental machining capacity from current, I believe, around 4 lakh tons, so 4 lakh hours to 6.5 lakh hours, large part of that machining capacity will be coming up in Hyderabad plant than Aurangabad. See, the reason I'm asking you this is your incentive or the other income is largely, if I'm not mistaken, linked to your sales from your Aurangabad plant. If you transfer your WIP from Aurangabad to Hyderabad, the net sales from Aurangabad, will it still be sufficient to cover up the maximum possible incentive that you can get?
Yes, yes. It will be far more than what we are eligible for on an annual basis.
Okay.
To receive the 32 crores, which is the peak level, we need to do a sale of approximately 400 crores from the Aurangabad facility, which is already happening.
Got it.
That's not going to impact that at all.
If that is already happening, I mean, you just mentioned that next year we are expecting 27 crores. So why would the incentive not be peaking at current levels itself? So just a...
Yeah, so what we have done for FY22, the sale, we will get the sanction from the Maharashtra government in the next 4 to 5 months. That would be 75% of the 32 crores eligibility. 32 crores are giving us round number. So that will be accounted. Then 15% is sanctioned after certain more due diligence is done, which takes typically about 12 months. So, you know, when your sales are increasing, it will take a while for that run rate to equalize.
Okay.
See in the current year, we have accounted 9.3 crores for the current year, which we have intimated to stock exchange, the sanction we have got. And in addition to that, we have accounted 15% of the previous sanctions as well. So similarly, next year, when we will get the 32 crores, we'll only be able to account 75% of that and 15% of the current sanctioned amount.
Okay. And it will be regularizing. It will be regularized.
Once you start doing 32 crores for 2 years, then it will form a rolling pattern.
Okay. Okay. Fair. In this proposed Hyderabad refurbishment, anytime is it going to start in FY23 itself or to be done later on?
No, so this is just a general approval that we've taken from the board that this CapEx is due and we would like to replace our equipment which is more than 20 years old in Hyderabad and also to further automate our Hyderabad, Aurangabad facility and concentrate lamination in Aurangabad and machining in Hyderabad. This we would plan to take up only in FY24 looking at the market situation and economy at that point of time.
Okay. And
we have not committed any resources or cash to this. This is just a planned activity.
Okay. But till the time we don't, this refurbishment is not complete. I believe it would not be your refurbishment. And CapEx cycle will be split between a couple of years at least. When do you expect the EBITDA per ton? I mean, do we, for our modeling purpose, the EBITDA per ton trajectory get stalled at around 42,000-44,000 range, or is it still, I mean, even without the refurbishment, it continues to have a potential of 48,000 or 50,000 as you have highlighted earlier?
See, the incremental EBITDA per ton will come from further automation and enhancement of the machining capabilities. Just the replacement of old machine will not give us any additional EBITDA. So as we continue to further automate, it will keep increasing. So the automation plan is also part of 197 and some part is also part of the original 270 crore capex. It's an ongoing overlapping capex. In a corporate running company, it's very difficult to pinpoint and say that this particular thing will lead to this. There are multiple factors that would go in to increase your profitability and improve your efficiency.
Okay. Okay. So even till the time we don't have a chalked out capex plan for this incremental capex, we still can see EBITDA per ton raising beyond to 42,000 as well.
Okay. Absolutely. See, we don't need to go ahead and do the entire 197 and then take the benefit. Even if we do little bit of it, you know, automate few machines, it will keep on increasing the EBITDA, right?
And this current global slowdown.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Joshi. Can you please speak clearly because your audio seems to deteriorate as you're speaking.
Hello, is this better, ma'am?
Yes, it is.
Yes. The last question from my side. As you said, the domestic is growing faster than exports. Do you see a very sudden, drop in your export orders in the last 2-3 months? If you can just just from a macro trend point of view.
No. In fact, our export orders are, like I said, on a all-time high basis. They are running at an all-time high run rate. There's no drop in export orders. They are also growing at a good rate. But the domestic market is growing at a faster rate than that.
That is very useful, sir. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Vora from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Akshay.
Sorry to interrupt you, Chetan. Your audio is quite low. May I request you to increase the volume on your phone and come closer as well?
Yeah. Is it okay now?
Better.
Yeah. So the thing what I wanted to ask is that the incremental capex of nearly about 200 crores, what you have been planning is towards the taking the machining or capacity from 600,000 to 648,000 that you mentioned that it will be towards the highly valued products and the refurbishment of the Hyderabad facility, right? Can you break up the amount, you know, how much will be incurred between these two? And this is over a what period starting? And right now you mentioned just to the previous participant, okay, right now it is not crystallized and this is a planned capex. So it will not be incurred immediately. So by when this capex activity will be undertaken? And yeah, on the machining hours, if that 600 goes to 648,000 towards the highly valued product, so what could be the change in profitability? That was the first question.
So, see, this capex will start not before FY24. And out of the 197 crores, and I'm just giving you broad numbers, around 70 crores is for replacement of the existing lamination facility in Hyderabad. About 55 crores is towards the additional machining hours from 600,000 to 648. And the remaining is towards automation and general capex that you require to upgrade the infrastructure in Hyderabad and Aurangabad to accommodate these new capex.
Okay.
And as we keep automating the equipment, I mean, these are not linked to each other per se. As you can see, these are not linked to each other. So we can also do this in a modular manner. We don't need to spend the entire 70 crores and replace the Hyderabad facility in one shot. And it cannot be done in that manner also. It will have to be done in a modular manner. All of these initiatives. So as we keep investing and replacing the older equipment with modern equipment and automation and automate the existing machines, further automate the existing machines in Aurangabad, it will keep on contributing to increasing our profitability and EBITDA margins.
Right, I understand, but not before FY24, but and this capex will be incurred over what period? Any time frame?
Like I said, it will be over 2 years, FY24 and FY25 as per our plan.
Okay. And the balance of the existing capex activity what you undertake is undergoing of 270 crores, 130 crores has been incurred. So 135 crores will be incurred over what year, the balance capex of 270 crores?
In the current year.
In the current year itself, yeah?
Yes, that's ongoing. That is one single capex which will be completed in this financial year.
Yeah, that's all. So the balance capex will be done in this year itself?
Absolutely.
Okay. And for the FY23, you guided out for the volume of 42,000 tons. And you mentioned about the EBITDA also. So what kind of EBITDA you are looking at it?
Around 42,000 rupees per ton. The current one only will continue because this is not going to, you know, result in any additional profitability. It's just going to be a volume growth for current year.
Mm-hmm. And the Hyderabad capacity... Aurangabad facility right now is at 20,000 tons, right?
Out of the 32,000 tons round figures sold, 20,000 was sold from Aurangabad, 12,000 from Hyderabad.
And the capacity what right now? Total capacity is 46,000. Aurangabad will be what?
Aurangabad would be close to 26,000 from it. Sorry, 30,000 from it.
30,000. Okay. And it will go to around 54,000, right?
No, the total capacity will go to 54,000 and then to 72,000.
That will be the total capacity, including Hyderabad, right? Okay, that
Yes.
Hyderabad is.
Hyderabad is about 16,000 tons. So Aurangabad will become 56,000 tons even.
That's all. Yeah, that's all. So 30,000 will be going to 56,000, right?
Correct.
Next year. Right? Okay.
Correct. Correct, correct.
So this year we are sitting at 30,000. Next year, by the end of that, the FY 2023, we will be going to 56,000 tons.
In Aurangabad, yes, 56. 72 in total.
Yeah, 72 in total, I understand that.
Yeah.
16, Hyderabad capacities are anyways up and running, right? And
Yeah.
at what capacity utilization Hyderabad is operating right now?
Hyderabad is at about 80%, approximately 80%.
And optimally, how much can it go up to?
In our industry, about 80% is the average capacity utilization that you can expect.
Okay, so 80 is the optimal utilization basically. Even for the Aurangabad, it will be the 80. Even if
Yes.
it is. Okay, so the production we have, what we can get out of the Aurangabad also, it will be at 45,000 ton.
Yes.
At the optimal utilization, right?
Yes, at the optimal level, it would be about 45.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and the peak at what you mentioned by the end of the next year will be 370 crores.
360.
360 crores.
We are estimating about 360.
Okay. Fine. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind Kothari from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I wanted to ask that there is a strong feedback from few of the clients that India-made motors are being, preferred over German-made motors or things like that. That in turn is maybe providing us opportunity to, provide to the likes of ABB and Siemens. So how you're looking at that trend going forward?
See, like I said, we don't control that trend. We are getting orders from ABB, Siemens, for their India operations. They use the same motor in India and Germany as well. So,
Okay.
it's not like their preference in India for a India-made motor. In fact, we are seeing the reverse, that there's a preference now that motors are exported out of India for the European requirement, which used to earlier come from China.
Correct.
So, we are seeing both of those trends going, and I think those trends will continue.
Is there an assessment that we might have done that what can be the cost difference that because the German-made motor, India-made motor, the cost difference has gone up to almost, 2 to 3x some motors. So is there some assessment we've done with respect to China? What would be the difference now or how competitive we've become?
We don't make the motors, so we make the components that go into the motor. So we would not be doing any of that assessment. We do assessment of the product that we make, which are your laminations and casted components and machine components.
Okay.
And those components, if you take on a basic price basis, also we are competitive with respect to China. And when you take it on a landed cost basis because of the duties which are being imposed on Chinese products of late, the difference is huge. I mean, the difference is as high as 40-45%, where Indian products are cheaper than Chinese products.
Got it. Also, we have gone up the value chain in terms of, the end parts of the motor that we are providing and, the job work that now we are doing for certain ABB, Siemens now, even very expensive motors, we are providing the starter and everything. So how is the progress on that front? Is that the acceptability is going up and our value, you can say going forward would be even better?
I think the adoption of more assembled parts for the motor, like the stator housing and the rotor with shaft, that is going to keep going up the way we see it, because the only way to simplify and consolidate the supply chain is to do more at fewer vendors and thereby improve your cost and quality. So we see that trend going forward to be strong.
Correct. So how many players like us would be there in India who would be providing a larger value add or are we in a better position in that sense of the value add side of the equation?
To the best of my knowledge, there's not a single person who makes a shaft, machine components, fabricated components, as well as sheet metal in a single company, let alone a single facility. So, there's
Got it. Fantastic. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary from Chris Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Sir, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Runwal from Moneybee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Akshay sir. Good evening. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you, Anurag.
First of all, sir, I mean, in terms of capacity, so currently our capacity is 46,000 and in the previous quarter it was 41,000. So there is an increase of 5,000 which has happened during the quarter. What I would like to understand is, did we get the benefit of this increased capacity throughout the quarter, or did the machine sort of come during the fag end?
Machines were commissioned mostly in February and March, and therefore we did not get any significant advantage of that capacity. That capacity, incremental capacity, is now fully available for us in quarter one.
Okay. Secondly, if we talk about your Aurangabad plant, so we are going to increase our capacity, which is going to be, I'm talking about the laminations facility. So the capacity is going to come in the Aurangabad plant, right? So that would be coming in the existing setup itself, or will we be required to sort of construct a new building for that?
So the increased capacity for the company, which will go to 72,000 tons, will be accommodated in the existing facility itself.
My understanding was that we already have sort of exhausted the available space at Aurangabad, so that's why I was wondering how it would come up.
No, for the 72,000 tons we are good, but beyond that we cannot do anything in that facility.
Okay.
So the 270 crores capex plan, we can implement that in the existing setup. But beyond that, shifting the facility from Hyderabad for sheet metal to Aurangabad and then, expanding that further would not be possible there.
Okay. And so the adjacent lands that we had, which we were sort of planning to utilize, so that would be forming a part of the 197 crore capex that we are planning to do in FY24-25. Is my understanding right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and this increased capacity, so that would be throughout the year, or when do we plan to see the impact on the P&L from these increased capacity? I'm talking about the increase from 46,000 to 72,000.
So for the increase from 41 to 46, you should already start seeing from quarter one, and progressively as the machines keep coming and getting installed, we should start seeing that capacity being utilized and put to use. Like we
and
said, we are planning about 42,000 tons of sales for the full year. So just to meet that target, we would require more capacity to be commissioned very shortly.
Okay. So, every quarter we are going to sort of receive machines. Will that be the case?
Approximately, yes. Every quarter you can say we will receive a machine.
Okay. And in terms of you are planning to sort of shift the machining capacity to Hyderabad. So what I would like to understand is that, let's say when we talk about motors, when you are sort of providing the assembled motor, not the entire motor, but to a major extent, which includes the shaft portion as well. So my understanding was that the shaft is being gets made in the Aurangabad facility. So now, if you're shifting the machining facility to Hyderabad, would it be happening that the materials would sort of be transferred from the Hyderabad facility to Aurangabad facility and then be provided to customers? And would that sort of impact your cost? Would it increase your logistics cost?
No, we are not shifting machining facility from Aurangabad to Hyderabad. We are shifting the lamination from Hyderabad to Aurangabad and focusing on machining in Hyderabad. So the existing facilities which are required for the lamination related operations of machining, like shaft, will continue there. Where the lamination is required for machining, that will come to Hyderabad. So the shaft, you would not be transferring it from Hyderabad to Aurangabad.
Okay.
Only the lamination which is requiring machining will get transferred from Aurangabad to Hyderabad.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Zarbade from Dreamladder Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. I wanted to know the incentives that we received in FY22 and what we can receive in FY23 in cash terms, actually.
In cash terms, as in you mean what the payout from the government took place?
Yes.
So we received 16 crores, which was sanctioned and accounted last fiscal year. We have received that in cash terms.
Okay. And FY23, it will be around 32 crore odd.
You're asking for cash terms, right? So what is approved by the government for sanction for disbursement will be received. So that amount stands at about 12 or 13 crores.
Okay. Okay. And what would be the value-added sales in the revenue mix in FY22 and how it will change over the next 2 years?
In FY22, in the presentation is given, just let me pull it up. I think for the full year, it was about 60% value added.
Okay.
Just hold on 1 second. Yeah, about 60% was value added approximately for FY22, and we see the same trend continuing.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to check which quarter are you expected to touch the 72,000 capacity?
By the end of the fiscal, it will be done, 72,000.
FY24 end, which is March
24? No, FY23 end.
You will touch 72,000.
Yeah, we are targeting to implement the entire 72,000 tons capacity by the end of the current fiscal. The utilization will take time, but the capacity will be expected to be installed by end of the current year.
Okay, and the capex plan for this year is how much? FY23?
The remaining 133 crores.
Okay, and your EBITDA per ton remains that you said 42,000 odd because this capacity may not be utilized fully this year. Is that the reason?
That would be one of the reasons.
Okay. And how do we think about this 72,000 beyond FY23?
Beyond FY23, right now we are firstly focused, like I said, on replacing
upgradation
of the old facility and reorganizing our businesses. Beyond that, we are not expecting to add any fresh capacity as of now. Because that is more critical for us to, upgrade the age facility so that we can continue utilizing those businesses. And with 72,000 tons of capacity, we will be good to do a production and sales of about 58,000 tons. Current year, we are targeting about 42,000 tons. To move from 42 to 58, it will take a couple of years. After which, looking at the market, we will see whether to further invest and enhance the capacity beyond that.
Okay. And how much demand visibility do you have?
For the current year, like I said, the forecasted orders are for about 42,000 tons based on all our interactions and business plans from our customers. Order book is at about 1,078 crores.
So I'm just trying to understand, how do you plan? I mean, you obviously set up a significant capacity expansion plan, right? I mean, I'm just wondering what has given you the confidence that you will be able to achieve 58,000 sales.
So this is driven from our customer interactions and their business plans and forecasts over the next 2 to 3 years. So based on all of the interactions from all of our customers, we come down to these numbers.
So you are almost 100%. I mean, so what is your confidence level of doing that 58,000? You're 70-80% sure. I mean, how much of that is already in the bag in terms of orders?
In terms of orders, the orders would be, rolled out on a quarterly basis for 6 months, 9 months forward. You would not have orders over multi-year basis. It's always on a forecast basis and discussions with the customer on their business plan. Now, obviously, that can go wrong. Anything can happen in the economy, right? So, how do you say with any certainty that that's going to happen? But we have high level of confidence that looking at the trend and business scenario in the current, despite the current business scenario, we are confident of achieving that.
Understood. And in terms of your peak debt, I mean, given your plans this year and the kind of EBITDA calculations that come, it seems that your debt should far exceed what you're suggesting, 360 crores, unless of course you have significant working capital improvements even from here. Can you help us?
In my opening remarks, as I said, we are continuing to improve our working capital cycles, and we've already got it down to 96 days for the full year. And we expect this to, you know, continue to go downwards towards 75 days and even, you know, eventually further down to 60.
And that will happen in 2 years, 75 and 60, the following 2 years? Is that how I should look at it?
So that is what we are trying to do. Let's first achieve our targets for the current year for 75 days and then see.
Okay, and this will be largely driven by debtor days reduction, isn't it? I mean, with the, I mean, you'll have to take a hit on margins to kind of reduce debtor days.
This is driven from both debtor days reduction as well as inventory days reduction. As we continue to reduce our dependency on imported materials, we will be able to reduce our inventory days as well. So there you will not actually see any hit on margins.
Okay, okay. Lastly, the 48,000 is for FY25. Is it? I mean, the targeted EBITDA per ton?
I said, you know, given that the capacity utilization goes up to 80% and sales of 58,000 tons happening, reorganizing and automation taking place, definitely we see that that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, can you help explain what this automation is which is suddenly giving you this leg up? I mean, is there any element of product mix? Because as you scale up, do you get higher margin? I mean, it's easier to scale up on lower margin products, but to scale up to 50,000 users on higher margin, how does that work out?
So, see, if you take the products of the company, the simplest product that you make is a loose sheet metal lamination. Now, obviously, over there, your margins are going to be much lower. And the most value-added product that you make is a fully co-drop strata frame and a fully assembled, ready-to-use rotor where the shaft is attached, the copper is, you know, put in by us. So the value add on the final, I'm just giving you the two extremes, right? So as you know, improve the product mix from just plain vanilla laminations to assembled, and then in assembled also, more value add as you keep doing, your margin per ton will keep increasing.
Sure. And you're seeing the demand visibility for that. I mean, moving towards the higher end.
Yes. The demand is for the more value added kind of products.
Okay.
The second reason why your margins will improve is that you have invested for 72,000 tons of capacity and you have scaled up your operations as such. So once your utilization factors go to 80% on 72,000, obviously, you know, economies of scale kick in. And the third one is automation. So we are heavily focused on automation. I would invite you to our Aurangabad facility to have a look at the kind of automation that we've already done. That will simplify and explain to you what kind of margin improvement can take place due to automation. Just to put in perspective, there are certain machines to operate which takes 5 labor. With automation, it takes 0 labor. So your manpower cost will go dramatically lower.
And
your business and volume will increase. So, you know, it's not one thing. It's a combination of factors which will result in the EBITDA increase.
Understood. And
these are modular in nature.
Yeah. When you look at the business 5-10 years out, I mean, I'm just wondering whether this core product itself, where you've nicely kind of, you know, forward integrated from loose laminations to almost 70-80% value add of a motor, and you kind of almost covered that journey. Maybe in another 2-3 years, you would have covered that. So what happens beyond that? I mean, is there something, you know, does the current tech itself have a huge addressable TAM, which is not being addressed? Because my understanding is you're already the largest market share wherever you are within your customers. So how do you expand beyond FY25? What is the thought process there?
So firstly, let's take the market size and opportunity in India. The stated market size for this product in India is about 500,000 tons. We are at near 32,000 tons. We are not even 10% of the market. We are the largest, but we are not anywhere close to, you know, even 10% of the current demand. As India grows, this product's demand and requirement will increase. As you adopt EV, as you adopt green power, the requirement for these products will increase. And we see that even if we can, you know, target to maintain our existing market share or even improve it slightly, we have great opportunities of growth in the existing products. Apart from that,
we are getting...
Hello?
A large chunk of 500,000 is small motors. That is not the segment that we address anyway. Right?
It's not just small motors, right? It's also other motors for automotive applications where we are not there today. So that's another sector that we are focusing in.
Understood. Good.
Okay, so
thank
there
you
are
so
multiple
much.
Things.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Rich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. My first question is on the end user industry. So what percentage of our revenue of FY22 came from motors? And if you can divide it in terms of, say, low tension motors versus high tension motors.
See, if you take our investor presentation, I think it's very clearly present there on the end application user wise. So we don't track it on what is low voltage, what is high voltage. If a low voltage motor going in locomotive for us is still locomotive, or a high tension going in locomotive is still locomotive. We track it more from the end application rather than the type of motor.
Okay. So around, if I add my numbers correctly, it's around 55-60% you have shown from traction motors, special motors, and industrial and commercial motors. These three are the main motor segments, right?
Yes.
And, sir, so if we look at FY22, FY23 demand, so FY22, all these segments grew quite well, coming from a low base. So are you seeing this healthy demand next year also? When you talk about we are targeting, for example, 30% more growth this year. So do you think all these segments can grow at 30% plus, or do you think the new segments will have to contribute more?
No, so all segments will not grow at 30%. Certain segments will grow more than 100%. Certain segments will not grow at all. So end combination of that would, you know, kind of give you this. So there is a segment which is currently not even in our pie chart. It's in others, which is electric vehicles and automotive. In the current year, for FY23, we see that, you know, it will again start contributing meaningful revenues. So it is the end user application will keep changing. It cannot be that everything grows at 30%.
Yeah. So, but these are the, so for your overall company level to grow at 30% plus, the major contributing segments, which are these motors and maybe power generation, these have to grow at 20-25%, right? So you are expecting the industry to grow at that rate, or maybe from your order book, you can tell us about the traction you are seeing in this segment.
See, like I said, renewable energy, especially windmill, is currently projected to grow very strongly based on our interactions with our customers. We are seeing tremendous growth coming from there. Traction motor, railway and metro will grow. EV will and automotive will start contributing significantly. And special purpose motors will also grow. So these two, three areas will grow significantly going forward.
And where are you seeing, say, a little less demand in FY23 compared to FY22?
Predominantly in consumer durables, they contribute less than 1% of our revenue. That's the only place where I'm seeing degrowth or pressure on from demand side. Apart from that, all of the other sectors are also growing, but not at 30%, obviously.
Sure, sir.
Mining, oil and gas is another one which is going to grow significantly because of the off-highway vehicles and price in oil going up.
Sure. On the overall, so sir, you have talked about we have less than, we have 7-8% market share of that 5 lakh ton market. If you can name who are the other players, do they have like 3-5% market share, or all of them are much smaller?
So there's Temple Steel, which is a subsidiary of a US company called It's a subsidiary of the Working Pen Group. They are, I think, the second largest in the country. They are currently operating at about 18,000 odd tons. Then apart from that, you know, you have multiple guys who are at that 8 to 10,000 ton level. Magcor is there, Capstan Industries is there, Bagadia are there. I mean, if you search the internet today, everything you can get over there.
Yeah, yeah. So my question was, out of the 5 lakh metric tons, is the most of it coming from the organized sector itself, or there's a little bit of unorganized sector also available? So for us to grow greater than the market, do we require to take market share from other players or from unorganized players? That was my question.
So the unorganized sector is slowly being eased out in the industry as the MNCs and the OEMs are trying to buy more from the organized sector. Today, again, this is just an estimate. Don't take it for me. We can do the research. But I think about half the market is still unorganized. Half of the market segment is still coming from the unorganized segment. And as you know, more and more people start buying from the organized, it will definitely lead to more opportunities for us.
Sure, sir. That helps. That is it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Sachdeva, a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
So, with the new machines being installed, do you have any estimate of depreciation figures for FY23?
Again, see, that will depend on the installation timing. If it gets installed before September or after September, I don't have a figure with me on hand right now.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubham Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, what kind of interest cost you are targeting in FY23? It was
it was about 39 crores for the last year. For the current year, I think looking at the rising interest rates, and if you factor that in, I think it should not cross more than 42, 43 crores.
Okay. And so your current order book, which basically is the visibility you have of around 1080 crores. So this is for how many tons?
In tonnage terms, again, I can get the data to you. I don't have it offhand with me over here.
But approximately would it be like 40,000 ton or what?
No, it won't be 40,000 tons. It would be, again, estimate, if I just have to do a pro rata, it should be closer to about 36,000 tons.
Okay, and what is the execution period to execute this order book?
See, out of the 1,000, it won't be actually even 36,000 tons, because out of the 1,078 crores, about 200 crores is orders which are executable beyond FY23. 880 crores is about executable in the current fiscal. So that would represent close to 32,000-33,000 tons. See, you can just give the query and our investor relation agency will get the data to you.
Okay, but the execution period for that excluding 200 crore
is the current year, na? Out of 1,078, about 200 is for the next year. The remaining is executable in the current year.
No, I understand that it's executable in current year, but in like 6 months, 8 months, 9 months is what I need to understand.
Come on, Ankit. I will not have that data on hand with me.
No issues. No issues.
The IR agents will get it to you.
Okay. And sir, just wanted to understand one more thing. In our last meeting, you did mention that your customers have the data of each of your cost items, from where you are buying the steel, what cost you are incurring on conversion, etc. So will your customer allow you to increase your EBITDA per ton from the current level of 42 to 48,000? Won't they come and squeeze you that, okay, now you, we'll give you only this much, that much? Since they
experience, it will always be on cost plus basis, right? So if I'm doing more value add, I am required to be compensated in EBITDA terms for the additional value add. Now, it's not like I'm getting an increased margin for doing the same job.
Okay.
So if I'm doing additional processes, I should be suitably compensated for that additional cost and process, and suitable margin should be given for that.
Yeah, that's helpful. And so lastly, I mean, the 42,000 tons of sales which you are targeting this year, which requires a run rate of around 10,000 tons on a quarterly basis. So are we on track right from the beginning of the year, or you feel it would be more back-ended?
It will definitely be more back-ended, because the capacity today, installed capacity itself is just 46,000 tons. So there is no way I can even do anything close to the pro rata required. See, I need to do about 3,500 tons per month on a monthly basis. My current capacity at 80% utilization factor can only give me 3,200 tons. It can't give me more than that. So it will definitely be loaded in the second half.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. For any further queries or for plant visit, please get in touch with Ramanaidu or Bosky from Intellect PR. I repeat, for any further queries or for plant visit, please get in touch with Ramanaidu or Bosky from Intellect PR. On behalf of Pitti Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.